Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Through Kingdom Builders, you're making a difference all around the world, but certainly in our city. This is the third week of the series Kingdom Builders, but it's actually not so much a teaching series as it is a proclamation of what Jesus called us all to be. We are all Kingdom Builders. That's what we're called to be. Light of Life Rescue Mission, what a remarkable work they do. This past October when we did our Serve Day, a group of us went down. I was in that group that went to the homeless population, and we went into the homeless camps and filled dumpster after dumpster of just trash and things that cluttered their environment, and they helped us understand, don't take this, do take that. And Light of Life is serving the least among us. And one of the young men that you saw in that video, Doug Smith, is a young man that came to this church. And Doug's spoken here before, and he'll be back to speak, I'm sure, in the future. But he came here as a broken teenager, and his life was really, really difficult. And because of what God does in people's lives through church, and not just through church, but next generation ministry, Doug today is one of the most profound leaders. And I don't say this glibly. I really do believe this. He is one of the finest next generation leaders that I know of anywhere in this country. It's remarkable what God's using that young man to do, and everything he does. I want you to know, if you're a part of Victory, you have a part in what that young man does. And Light of Life's an incredible place. And that's really what Kingdom Builders is about. It's filling a deficit that had remained here for 25 years since this church started. I've been so deficient in letting you know what your giving has done around the world. We have put multiplied millions into missions and local ministries, and Kingdom Builders deals with global missions and local church expansion, which would include Light of Life Rescue Mission, and not just churches, but everything, the church, the body of Christ, locally and even in our nation. And then investing in next generation leaders like Doug Smith. You see, there's no greater investment than in human beings. They are the most incredible, amazing resource on planet Earth. Jesus called them the precious fruit of the earth. And through Kingdom Builders, we're not just making up a deficit to let you know what we are doing, but we're now giving you the opportunity, which I've been so deficient in doing, in letting you connect, not just in your prayers and not just with your efforts, but in your giving outside the walls of this church. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. The second deficit that we won't talk about today, but is really being dealt with, is a prayer deficit. It doesn't mean we haven't been praying as a church. We just haven't led you well. I haven't led you well into having opportunities to pray corporately and together. And that is just going so well. Every Saturday morning, we gather together to pray. Now, yesterday at 9 o'clock, we gather over in the auditorium. There were 68 people that showed up. We prayed for you. We prayed for the weekends. And we also prayed for your prayer requests. So if you have any prayer requests, or you have needs of anything in your life, we want to encourage you. These are in the seat pocket in front of you. If you'll fill out the prayer request, you can drop it in the offering basket as you leave today, or you can drop it off at guest services or bring it to a prayer partner. And what we do is, if you want someone to contact you from our care team, please put your information and check it. But it can be anonymous. It doesn't matter. But if you want someone to contact you and you don't give us your name, Jesus will have to tell us. So we have to, please make sure you tell us. But these will be, they brought over on Saturday mornings, and everybody in the prayer group that comes, they grab one of your prayer requests, and they literally take your prayer request, and we spend 30 minutes in prayer, and they pray specifically for you. And they pour their heart out to God for what you write on here. So this is not just a prayer request that goes into a drawer. People are praying over this. And something really cool happened yesterday. Ryan Merrick brought his kids and brought Tristan. And I just got to let you see the picture of Tristan. That's just wrong, isn't it? Look, is he up there yet? Look at that face, man. Come on. Man, that's a dangerous face, huh? Would you just want to squeeze that right off his body and squeeze that face? Well, when everyone was coming up and we broke into we were praying for 30 minutes, and he came up with his dad was coming up to get a prayer card. And he saw me, and he reached over and he grabbed my leg, and I leaned down and I said, "Yeah, honey." And he said, and this is the most incredible thing. He said to me, he goes, "Pastor John, you are a kingdom builder." I was like, "Oh, Jesus, help me not to hurt the child." Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you, what a memory to have your dad bring you to a prayer meeting. Man, tell you, next generation, God's doing something amazing in the next generation. You know, one of the things Kingdom Builders has helped me do is leading this church, and our teams lead well, is it's helped us redirect our resources. Because sometimes good can be the enemy of best. And Jesus said that when you, for something to grow well, you have to prune back things so that it can bring forth more fruit. And one of the things we've done for 19 years here, which has borne wonderful fruit, and I celebrate 19 years of a tremendous outreach to our community, has been extravaganza. But this year we're not going to do it, and let me tell you why. It's not because it's not a great event, but it started to diminish in its purpose. Let me explain what I mean by that. In the beginning, people would come to extravaganza and they knew they were coming to our church, and it was able to connect people to God in a sense. This would be a next step when they were in need, but extravaganza was becoming like a trip to Kennywood for people. And it really was like they weren't even coming here. It was just coming to extravaganza. And there's nothing wrong with that. But your time, your resources, it need to be used in a way that will produce greater fruit. And so we are doing other things to redirect your passion, redirect your time and your effort, because it takes an enormous amount of time and effort to do extravaganza. And I celebrate 19 years of an incredible run and just an incredible thing. How many of you are thankful for everything extravaganza did in the egg hunt for 19 years? Come on, man. But it was interesting last night. I don't know how many of you know Boots and Kathy Hixon, but I'm telling you, if there were just more Hixons on the earth, we'd be in the millennium right now. They're an incredible family. Boots and Kathy, let's just say they're not in their 60s anymore. And they came to me, and they came to church through the extravaganza. He actually had a company, he's since sold it, that they made kettle corn. I'm telling you, they're kettle corn. Change your life. You eat it, you see Jesus. And so Boots and Kathy came up to me, and they said, man, no more extravaganza. We came here because of it. And then they both said something to me. I love people who are timeless in the way they see God. Their age doesn't define them, their wants, their desires, their preferences. You know what they both said to me? I'm so glad we go to a church that knows that when something's time to move on, that you move on from it. Because churches, sometimes we hold on to things that because we like them, but are they doing what we ask them to do? Pastor, thanks for being willing to go to the next steps for this church. And I thought, boy, what a tremendous attitude for people to have. And some of the things that we're going to, it's not that it was, it couldn't do some good, but there is greater good that can be done. One of the things is the Newcastle campus is going to be the launch of it's going to be right about this time next year. Ton of work to be done on the front end of it, but it is going to require a lot of people to hear God and get up there and help plant that extension campus of Victory. And there'll be interest meetings coming down the road. And we want to make sure that we utilize your time in a way that builds God's kingdom most effectively. The serve day that we talk about is actually getting outside of the walls of our church. Instead of bringing people here once a year, we did it. Our first one was in October of last year. About 500 of you went around the region and did serve projects like the one I was involved in, where we went and cleaned the homeless camps in the city. But everything from helping people with needs in their home to fixing things and replacing gutters for single moms, just incredible. And then we'll do it every year in July from now on. And I'm trusting this year we'll have 1,000 of us all over the region serving. Not only that, we have what we're calling a Saturday serve day that will be the same Saturday every month, where those of you who have the desire will be doing this every month outside the walls of the church. So it's not that we're not doing things. We're just redirecting our efforts so that we can be more fruitful and more effective. And one of the events that we're changing, if you will, to be the draw event to people is the Christmas show. This year, you invited first-time guests here, well over 4,000 people, and 1,500 of them gave their lives to Jesus. Come on, man. Isn't that great? Incredible? I want to talk to you tonight, this morning. I lose what track where we're at. Because we had church last night, I'm stuck. Anybody lose track of stuff? Am I the only human here? Okay, I'm not a detail guy, but I know it's Sunday. Here's the deal. God has a dream for his kingdom. Jesus prayed a prayer. Now, y'all call it the Lord's Prayer. I'm a Catholic boy. It's the Our Father, just to correct you. Just so you, how many of y'all from my background? It's the Our Father, you Lord's Prayer people. Come on, man. Give me a little Our Father, Hail Mary, acts of contrition. Come on, baby. You say, what does that mean? None of your business. But here's the thing. Jesus prayed a prayer. He said, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God on the earth expressed through kingdom builders is to bring heaven on earth. That's what Jesus came to do. He said, I come to destroy the works of Satan, the works of the enemy. I came to destroy them. And as a kingdom builder, as a part of the body of Christ, you are a weapon against the heartache and brokenness of a generation and a culture and an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what kingdom builders do. God has a dream for this earth, and it's heaven on earth. And yet God doesn't bring dreams to pass the way we do. When somebody has a dream in their heart in the culture, in the world system, they look for the smartest, the finest, the fastest, the best. And they try to do it through the finest, the best, and the quickest. God's just the opposite. You know who he said in Scripture he typically calls? There's some exceptions, and I wasn't one of them. He said, I call those things that are weak, those things that are base, those things that are considered nothing to confound the mighty, so that no flesh can glory in my presence. Those are Greek words that mean things like this, comatose. How many of you know that's not a good thing to be? You say, God says, I call comatose people. One of the Greek words is where we get the word moron. Comatose morons. He said, that's my team. That's who I'm picking. People say, well, God called me. Well, likely you're a comatose moron. That's okay, though. Can I tell you something that happens when any human being yields to God? Something miraculous happens. What people deemed worthless, God extracts the precious out of. Nothing has to define you as a kingdom builder. No one has to define you. No event, no sin, no sin against you, no abuse in your past, no absent father, absent mother, abusive. Nothing, no one, anyone gets to define you anymore as a child of God. Your father gets to define you, and you get to live a whole different kind of life. That's what you're called to live as a kingdom builder. Come on, man. That's what you're called to live. Every one of us are called to live this way. I want to read to you how God does the amazing things. In the book of Ezekiel, I'm going to read you out of the prophet Ezekiel, and I wish I had time to give you the context. These verses are where he's actually, prior to this chapter, proclaiming the prophecy that Jesus would come into men's and women's hearts and make them brand new, and they would no longer have a sin nature, but they would be born of God. And he said, I'll live in them. In the chapter I'm reading you, this is God prophetically actually telling Israel, I'm going to restore you as a nation someday. They were in exile, and ultimately, this is part of the prophecy that was fulfilled in 1947. How many of you know God has some timing in what he says? Ezekiel said it thousands of years ago, and now the nation of Israel is established in 1947. I'll tell you, God doesn't forget, guys. He doesn't settle up the second Saturday of every month, but let me tell you something. He is faithful. If he said it, it will come to pass. Ezekiel, and it's actually talking more than just Israel. It's talking about what God wants to do from the chapter before in the hearts and lives of people. But let me read it to you. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. This is what the vision he saw. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry, which means they've been dead for a long time. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh Lord, you know. And again it said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that were slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. Now listen, and they became an exceeding great army. God does his work in the valley of dead bones. God starts where people give up. Kingdom building is not about human strength. It's not about your expertise and mine. It's about God coming into the dead men's bones of humanity and restoring us to Him. We who were dead in our sin and trespass, making us alive to God, so that we can take hold, the scripture said, for that which Christ Jesus took hold of us for. That we no longer just have to live ebbing through life, trying to find our way through a piece of pleasure or avoiding pain, but to live for something beyond this life. Meant to live a life where God Himself begins to work. God's timing isn't like man's timing. And as I told you, God does not simply and usually pick the people that you think He'll pick. But can I tell you, when you begin to agree with God, something begins to happen in a realm that you have no control over. 25 years ago plus, this church started. And I mean this with utter sincerity. I'm not being self-deprecating. I'm being absolutely honest with you. We are the last two people on planet Earth that I would have selected to do and lead this church. It's not because we didn't love God, but look at this thing. I'm a blue-collar kid. She grew up in the poorest county in the state of Florida. I didn't have any expertise. I don't understand managing people. What do I know? But God doesn't call those that are qualified. He qualifies people that He calls. He takes what others might look at. Look, when I see old friends, the first thing when they find out what I do and they find out that and some of them know what I'm doing, they look at me and they go, Nuzzo, that's impossible. I can't believe you're not in prison. How can this be? You see, God speaks into your heart. But when you learn to live as a kingdom builder, you learn to live beyond your limits. 25 years ago, Michelle and I began to say, and we said it from the very first service, Father, I thank You. And I said it the first service, probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. Everything you see on this campus today, I talked about 25 years ago with 33 people who looked at me like I was out of my mind. And I talked about the day that we would, this church would have the influence and it would have thousands and thousands of people touching the world. And you could just imagine, other than my wife and Pastor Pat Butcher, who came up, and my mom, because, you know, Italian mothers think all their children are Jesus. And so, except baby Jesus really is to her. That's the youngest one. I'm in therapy, so hang on. But here's the deal. Day one, we began to say, this is what God's called us to do. And we began to speak into the dead bones of nothing. There was nothing there but a word from God. And what I want you to understand as a kingdom builder, every one of you have a call on your life. And it doesn't always happen overnight. And it doesn't always happen just in my generation. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I love that God didn't say Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Because Jacob's name ultimately was changed to Israel, meaning prince. But Jacob means deceiver. I love that God calls Himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the deceiver. He didn't give him, even in the way God defined the God of who He is, He said, I'm the God of the people give up on. And that's what kingdom builders do. We don't give up. We don't give up on our own lives. We live for something greater than ourselves. 25 years ago plus now, it was over 30 years ago actually, Michelle and I were just married. We were in South Africa, and I don't have time to give you context, but we're in this beautiful church that sat over 5,000 people. And we were walking on a tour through the sanctuary, Michelle and I and one of the associate pastors. I walked into that room and the Holy Spirit's presence fell on me. And it was as real to me as if you talked to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and He said, I will use you to build something like this someday. I actually laughed out loud. I went, it's crazy. I was so overwhelmed by even the thought of it. I didn't even tell Michelle. I just thought, that's ridiculous. It was 25 years, almost to the day, when we walked into the sanctuary. You see, in human timing, you would say, when's that going to happen? You know, Pastor John, you've been talking about multiplying. I don't see it happening. I mean, come on, man. I mean, this place isn't multiplying. We're multiplying. When's that going to happen? See, a person who knows what it means to walk by faith doesn't live by what they feel, by what they see. They humble themselves to what God puts in their heart. Over a year plus ago, God began to put the word, now it's time to multiply in my heart. It's time to see what I called you to do years ago to now happen in the Northeast. And I don't know how to do that. Can I tell you something? Every day I pastor this church, it's the first time I ever pastored a church this large. Every time it grows, you're the largest church I've ever pastored. I've never done any of this stuff before. So well, then what do? I just learned to do something very simple. Is say, okay, how are you going to do it? I don't know. What are you going to do? Whatever the next step is. But the next step always feels like it's impossible. The next step feels like you're going into a valley of dead man's bones to try to make an army. And it feels absolutely impossible. And I want to encourage you today that God, when he speaks to your heart, you've got to agree with God. And when I've talked to you about, and we've been talking now for almost a year about planting 120 churches in the Northeast, and the Holy Spirit really checked my heart about that, and Michelle checked my heart about it too. And he said, no, son, you're missing it. You're thinking what possibly can be done through victory, and you're not seeing what I want to do. He said, change that number to 1,200. Multiply it. The 300 churches that we believe God has called us to help revitalize. Do you understand that there are thousands of churches in the Northeast that are like that valley of dead man's bones? That there's no life in them. It doesn't mean there aren't wonderful people there. But they've lost their way. They've lost their vision. They've lost their ability to trust God to be the church. And they end up just kind of living in their walls. And we said, we're going to help 300. The Holy Spirit checked my heart. He said, no, son, 3,000. He said, well, Pastor John, I mean, come on, how are we going to do that? Can I tell you that the minute we began to speak this out last year about the church building, now you know we're going to build a campus that's an extension of Victory up in Newcastle next February, and we'll put other campuses around the city as the Lord leads us. But I'm talking about church planting all throughout the Northeast, taking and helping churches to revitalize and seeing these dead bones come together and then become an exceeding great army. The multiplication factor. And what I began to feel and what we began to see when we began to talk about it is we saw the bones begin to rattle. And we didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell you yet. Oh, Michelle and I, we prayed about it privately before I even talked to anyone on our staff. And then we began to share it with our staff. I hadn't even said it to anybody. I mean, anybody. And we began to have people contact us about church planting in the Northeast. Just because we stepped out and began to say, God, if you've called us to do this, we don't know how, but we're going to do this as a church. I don't know how, but we'll do it. Immediately, the bones began to rattle. And now the bones are coming together. And now I'm watching literally sinew and muscles and skin come on these bones. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Steve and I were in Birmingham, Alabama, for a meeting that I didn't ask for, we didn't plan for, we didn't pray for. The greatest church planting movement in this nation, ARC, Association of Related Churches, they have a desire now to see what they do and expand and explode in the Northeast. And they got a hold of us. We had a meeting here where about 300 people from the region came to listen to what they do. And then Steve and I went down to Birmingham and we sat with their executive team and we began to talk about what would this look like. And now it isn't just Victory Family Church. Now it's Victory Family Church and the most prolific church planting organization in the country. And it's not just that. In a couple weeks, we're going back down for the ARC conference. And they said, what we'd like to do then is to gather all the pastors in the Northeast that have churches like yours, John, that have the desire to plant. And there are many, many of you at that season of your ministry. And we want to everybody get in the room. And John, I want you to share what's on your heart with all of those pastors, and let's talk about what could this look like in the Northeast. And let me tell you about the meeting that's going to happen after that. Then we're going to go to a hotel a couple days, all of those pastors, somewhere here in the Northeast, and we're going to spend a couple days praying. We're going to put a map up of the Northeast and say, where are the hub cities that God's called us to plant churches, that will plant churches, that will plant churches? And it won't be Victory Family Church. There might be 10, 15, 20 churches to begin with. And I believe God can bring, only God knows. But imagine churches planting churches. What if there were 12, in the next 15 years, what if 1,200 life-giving churches were planted throughout the Northeast? What if 3,000 churches were revitalized? Could I tell you what that would mean? That would be the equivalency of the Great Awakening. That's what God's called us to be a part of. That's what he's called us. Now, you may feel like people felt 25 years ago when I stood up and said this would happen. Because I promise you, people came up to me and said, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. And you're right. I've worked a long time to get out of my mind. It's not a place you want to be. Trust me. But I found something out about God. That he died for this. He shed blood for this. His eyes run over to and fro, the scripture said, over the whole earth, looking for someone who he can show himself strong on their behalf. I don't want him to look any further than you. You are a kingdom builder. That's who you are. It's not what you do. It's who you are. Now, let me get very practical. That all sounds good and out there, and while that's wonderful, I'd like to watch it happen. No. You have a part in it. So what is my part? Number one, pray first. Pray, say it out loud, pray first. Always seek God first, pray first. You have a part in it. So I don't have any, what can I do? Pray and ask God, what is it? Lord, what do you have for me in your kingdom? Where is it that I am called to be a part of serving in your mission in the earth? Because every one of you, not every other one of you, not the person who thinks that their life's all together down the road from you, every one of us have God's hand upon our life to build his kingdom in some measure. The first thing is you've got to pray. You've got to get before God and say, Lord, I exalt nothing above you. You've got to do exactly. Michelle this morning said to me, she said, honey, I just feel so inadequate to do this. I mean, we've been doing this a long time. Just this morning we're talking. We're actually listening to worship music. She said, I just feel so inadequate. I said, me too. If you ever start to feel adequate, God help you. Because can I tell you, no matter how adequate you feel, you aren't putting dead bones back together. You aren't putting flesh together. You aren't breathing life into what was dead and making an army. Only God can do that. We're not talking about what we can do as a church and won't it be nice to... No. I'm not talking about that simple human effort stuff. I'm talking about cooperating with the God that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is and watching him do something that will shake the earth. That's what God doesn't do stuff just to get by. Imagine going into business with God and say, well, we don't want to go, we don't want to think too big. Jesus, the last thing he said, go get me the whole world. That's his last words before he went to heaven and ascended. He said, I want the whole world. Now you go get them. Go get them for me. And you tell every human being on the earth. He wanted the world. He died for the world. In the church, sometimes we just think so small because we think within our own limits. Second thing is this, you've got to serve. You can't just pray. You've got to serve. You got to serve beyond your wants, serve beyond your needs, serve beyond your pleasure, serve beyond your vacation, serve beyond the football game and the basketball this and the training of this and the class to take a class so you could tumble and go to tumbling class. Now, you take your kid to tumbling class, God bless you. That's called being a toddler, by the way, but you can do that for free at home, but I don't want to go into that for you now. Those people should run the world. How many of you know you can tell people to pay? I'll pay you to let my kid tumble. Those people ought to run the government. We'd be out of debt, baby. That's some smart people. But we got to serve. We've got to step out beyond our own wants, even beyond our own needs. It's hard. Our pleasure can be an obstacle. But I'll tell you one thing. When you're in trouble, when you're hurting, the last thing you want to do is give your life away. But it's the first thing you should be doing. God, where do I serve beyond my needs, in the middle of my needs? Where can I serve on the dream team is what we call it here. Where can I make a difference in the earth? Maybe you're called to be a part of the Newcastle launch team. There's going to be interest meetings. Listen for them. Come to them and see if God's called you to be a part of that. I'm telling you, there are people sitting in this room right now that God wants to use you for things you can't imagine. Don't get stuck. Don't live and die and live your life trapped to skin when there's a God that loves you so desperately and wants to use you unimaginably. Because it isn't just praying and serving. You've got to go. See, being called of God or being sent by God doesn't matter if you don't go. You've got to act. You've got to get your hand into something now. See, what if I start something and it's not where I fit in the church? How do I get out of it? We are not the mafia. You can get out. Go do something else. But let me tell you, when you find your purpose, that's why the Our Church experience exists. When you find your purpose and begin to live in it, no one has to tell you to do it. It's like breathing. In fact, it's like the absence of breath when it goes away. Oh, it's you breathe in what you are meant to do in life. Don't use every breath for you. You'll live a half life. And I don't care how much money you make, how much stuff you own, vacation. Nothing wrong with owning stuff. Money saved, that's all fine. The Bible said God has pleasure. Nothing wrong with that. But please don't live for something so short-lived. You are a kingdom builder. Pray first, serve, and then go. But the fourth thing, everyone say everybody. Everybody should give, everybody. Well, I have problems right now. Listen, learn that the scripture said in watering others, you water yourself. Everyone, say it out loud, everyone. Everyone should be a giver, and not just commonly. Everyone should have a dream for their giving. Most people have a dream for their income. When you begin to walk with God, you will cease to have a dream for your income and begin to have a dream for your giving. You want to see, you really want to think like God? Think in terms, Father, how can you enable me to give more? Not how can I make more? Because when you do that first, that's called kingdom first. He said all the things are added to you. See, everyone is called to be a giver. Let me show you to you in scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:7. This is about a general offering, not tithing. This is just because everyone should be a tither. This is about an offering above the tithe for the poor. Listen to what he said. He's talking about giving when he talks about planting. Remember, the person who plants or gives few seeds will have a small crop. The one who plants many seeds will have a large crop. Each one should give. This isn't for the person down the row for you, or this isn't when you feel like you're spiritually strong. Each one should purpose to give. Then as he or she has decided, not with regret or out of a sense of duty, for God loves the one who gives gladly. See, everyone is called to give. See, as now we're into the third week of Kingdom Builders, and the goal for Kingdom Builders is $1.4 million. Every penny of it will be given outside the walls of this church. So what if more comes in? Every penny of it will be given away before the calendar year. Can I tell you, there are ministries that are desperate for more than $1.4 million that we've committed. And you know what? And I tell you this, I really do believe that more is going to come in. But here's my commitment to you. I'm not calling those people. I'm not having staff call those people. We're going to find a way to have some of you make those phone calls. I want you, some of you that have been, are kingdom builders. And it doesn't just mean if you're what we call a legacy giver. If you're in that program and you're giving and you're a kingdom builder, I want some of you, I don't know how we'll do it, pick a name, but I want you to make the phone call and call a missionary and say, listen, I'm from Victory Family Church. We're going to be sending you another $15,000 this December, and let you hear somebody shout and cry on the other end of the phone, because it isn't about a missionary getting money. There's somebody, they're trying to help, and you get to make that difference. I want you to feel the celebration because I haven't done that well. I want you to know what it feels like to see these things happen through your efforts and through your obedience to God. But everybody should take a commitment card, and above what you normally give, don't cannibalize what you don't give. Well, I give this, I'll just cut it in half. That's not doing anything but cannibalizing your giving. Whatever you normally do, above it, what is the dream you have in your heart? And I'm not talking about writing some ridiculous thing you know you can't do. I'm talking about, what is God putting in your heart that you believe you can do in this calendar year? Remember, Kingdom Builders is a one-year issue. We have a guide that's out on the way out, 1 year, and then we'll get a new one next year. And every penny of it, $1.4 million, is going to come in through your giving into Kingdom Builders. And we are going to shake the earth, and it's just the beginning. Oh, there's so many things down the road. But I want to encourage every one of you, every last one of you, everyone should be a giver. So every one of you can take this, fill it out prayerfully, drop it in the offering baskets when you leave, or give it to a prayer partner, or go to our guest services. But I really want to encourage every one of us to do that. But let me tell you about another kind of giving today as we wind this down today. It's called the gift of giving. Do you know Jesus discovered who he was in the scriptures? Not just by the Holy Spirit, and so can you. Look at Romans chapter 12 as we wind this down. Romans 12 says this, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part have a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Say it out loud, I'm a part of the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability, now he's going to name a variety of things that are gifts, to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, so there's prophecy, serving, serve them well. If you're a teacher, so there's the teaching gift, teach well. If you're an encourager, encourage people. There's a gift of encouragement. Then look at this gift. If your gift is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. The gift of showing kindness, then do it to others with gladness. Do you know God puts the gift of giving right beside teaching the scripture? One isn't better than the other. Here, let me explain the gift of giving to you. The gift of giving is somebody who God has given the grace to prosper for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God in the earth. And he said, there's a gift I give people for that. There's a grace. There's some of you in this room that God has prospered so far beyond your imagination. And you think, well, you know, I've worked really hard. And can I tell you that as hard as you've worked, as a believer, can I tell you, it is God's grace that has enabled you to gain wealth. And that wealth is something that you account to God for. Just like a person who is a singer using their gift for God, he said the person who's called to give just has to steward that gift as well. You see, people who are called with the gift of giving, they give in proportions. They don't set the vision of a church or a ministry, but they accelerate it. For some of you who have the gift of giving that are listening online or listening today or here in this room, you're going to look through this and you're going to see certain things that God's going to speak to your heart about, and you may want to fund it fully. You may want to fully fund the initiative of the Newcastle campus, one person. You may have the gift of giving to do that. And I would encourage every one of you, if you have that gift, steward it well. Honor God. You see, Kingdom Builders isn't about raising funds. It's about being Kingdom Builders. All of us using our gifts, all of us should give. But those with the gift of giving should give in proportions as God has prospered them. Because it is a gift that we all give account to. I'll give an account for how I've used the gift of pastor, that's a spiritual gifting. All of us will give an account to our gifts. The worship team's gonna come, and we're just gonna sing a song of worship. We're not gonna receive the offering in a typical way this morning. We're actually just gonna ask you on your way out, if you brought your tithes and your offerings to give today here in the building, there's baskets on your way out. You can just drop those in there. Drop your commitment cards there. For so many of you, you give online, and thank you for your faithfulness as a church. Such a generous church. Thank you for committing to be Kingdom Builders. It's just the beginning. The bones are coming together. We are going to get to see something that will change eternity. It's such an honor to be a part of God's kingdom. And as we're going to sing just in a moment, as we just, would you stand together with me? And we're going to sing this as a prayer out of our hearts. Even if you don't have a commitment card with you, just hold one. If you don't, just have one there. I think they're in the seat pockets. Even if you put one in, just take something that represents it in your hand and hold it. Because it isn't just the money commitment I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about a commitment to be a kingdom builder. And I want to pray over you today as we begin to just sing this song as an act of declaration of faith from our heart. Father, I thank you. As we hold these commitment cards in our hand, it's not just the money side of this, that we are committing to pray first. We are committing to serve beyond our needs. We are committing to go and not just pretend. And Lord, we are all, every one of us, called to be givers. For those who have the gift of giving, that they will honor you and obey you and accelerate the kingdom of God in the earth. And Jesus, you said that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that others in this world are killing themselves for, you will graciously add to us. Father, I thank you for your great hand of love and mercy in every one of our lives. And Father, we hold these today. And I pray specifically for those in this room who have a calling on their life. Holy Spirit, move in their hearts today. For those that are young, that you're touching their heart, that you'd be going into Waymaker School of Ministry to develop. For those who have a call that can't go to a day school, when the night school launches, that they will devote their time. Preparation's not wasted time. They won't live in the bubble. And you will take them places that they never dreamed possible. Jesus, give us a dream for our life beyond what we can see. Give us a dream for our giving beyond what we can imagine. For the sake of the world, Lord, let a fire burn in our hearts today. Sing this as a prayer. Sing it out of your heart. Oh. Sing it as a prayer.
Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me.
Come on, let's sing that together. Sing it as a prayer. Lift your hands. Surrender to Him. Worship You, Lord.
For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul.
Every person, for the sake of the world You gave Your love and life for, light a fire in our hearts today, Lord, that not one of us would waste this precious gift called life, that we would see generations changed. Our children will never have to live in the lives that many of us have been trapped in. Jesus, I thank You for that. Holy Spirit, move in this room. Bring callings to the surface in people's hearts now. Things that have been put to sleep, resurrect. Shake the bones that have dried up in us and breathe life again and hope into our hearts that we can live our lives and make an impact in this earth. We worship You with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to make certain that every one of us has had the opportunity to give our lives to the one who gave His life for us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to receive Christ into your heart today, I will pray for you right where you're standing. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're standing. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please don't place your eternity's trust in church attendance or being a good person. Those are fine things. None of them will make you right with God. Only by receiving the Savior who died on a cross and paid the debt that you couldn't pay. So if you're here today and you'd say, or you're watching online, you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, you'd say, Pastor, I want to pray with you right where I'm standing. I'm not going to single you out, I promise. This is between you and God to give your heart to the one who gave His heart for you and life for you. I want to receive Christ in my heart today, Pastor John. Please include me in that prayer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, right where you're standing. Would you simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you right where you're at. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed. One last moment, I want to check. Just make sure, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, or you're watching online, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. He's about to make you brand new. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life. We're going to close in prayer as we pray over the offering as we go our way today. And I do want our prayer partners to come.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.